Hello again. Welcome back. Another Bernie Miklas show here on YouTube on this Tuesday. Hope your day's off to a really great start. Well, I hope it's going well. It's almost over. It's happy hour time, 4:43 as I talk to you now, 4:43 Central Time. By the way, I've worn this hat a few times. I've had some people asking me, what's that all about? Do you love cats? Well, yeah, me and my wife love cats. Love dogs too, but figured it wasn't a good idea to mix dogs and cats. You know, you got a house with five cats, probably not a good idea. So anyway, but there's an actual baseball connection to this. And it's one of the reasons why it's so cool. Long, 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 long time ago in Kansas City, there was a chain of drug stores. It wasn't just drug stores, but, you know, they would sell, from what I read, they would sell, of course, medicines and household items and things like that, even fishing lures, hunting licenses and so forth. And it was called the Katz, K-A-T-Z. And anyway, the Katz family were avid baseball fans, and they sponsored a team in an amateur league in the Kansas City area, the Ban Johnson Baseball League, named after a former baseball commissioner, or I should say American League president, Ban Johnson. So that was a real baseball team, believe it or not. K-A-T-Z, the Kansas City Katz. I like this one for a lot of reasons, but I wanted to give you the backstory because a lot of you were wondering about that. All right, I want to talk a couple things today in the happy hour version of the Bernie Bits or the Bernie Miklas Show, whatever you want to call it. I'm punchy right now, so please forgive me if I make even less sense than usual. All right, for now, I'm done hollering about John Mozeliak coming back as president of baseball operations. I've expressed my view on this a million times. You all know how I feel. At this point, I've got nothing else to say. If there are some new developments, I'll revisit it. But for now, talked about this a million times, going to put it aside. All right? Thank you. What I want to talk about is Chaim Bloom, and I do want to talk about one potential positive to the fact that he'll be moving into the big chair, the John Mozeliak chair, after next season. Okay? Now, here I go again. I was opposed to that. I would like to have seen him take over immediately. But listen, I do think there's something to be said, reluctantly, there's something to be said for doing it the way that the Cardinals decided to do it. And no, I'm not flip-flopping. No, I haven't changed my opinion. No, I'm not singing a different song. What I am doing is saying, okay, they made their decision. I don't have to agree with it. But given my pragmatic nature, what I do in cases like this, it says, I think they made a mistake, but it's their decision. They ain't going to take it back. They ain't going to change it. So is there an upside to the decision that they made? I think there is, potentially. One of the reasons may surprise you, but let's start with this first reason, which is when Chaim Bloom was hired away from the Tampa Bay Rays, where he led a terrific player development system and draft, and the Rays had young players performing great for a long, long period of time, and he had a major role in all that happening, so they could punch above their weight with a small payroll. I was doing some research earlier today, and during Chaim Bloom's prime time as a baseball executive in Tampa Bay, 2008 through 2019, they were number one in the majors with wins above replacement for pitchers age 25 or younger. Their starting pitchers age 25 or younger were number one in the majors in WAR by far. And their position players over that same stretch, you know, and we're talking again, 2008 through 2019, their position players were seventh in wins above replacement. Now, I'm not trying to like cram wins above replacement at you. I'm just using it as a snapshot reflection of the value that they got from their player development system. That's my only purpose here. So he goes to Boston, though, and he's hired after the 2019 season, and he didn't have really much prep time to get ready for that job. He didn't have the backstory. He didn't have the background. He didn't know all the people that were working there. He didn't know who was who and who was doing what. He had a lot of things to sort out in his mind. He had to catch up on everything in a very short period of time to take over this really prestigious franchise in a very bustling, hyperactive, nasty, at times, baseball town. Oh, and he was going to work for a hyperactive owner in John Henry who, oh, I don't know, every 16 minutes or so, he would change his mind about what he wanted Heim Bloom to do. But my point is that Heim Bloom didn't really have much of a runway to prepare for that job. And in some aspects of that job, it was a challenge for him. He's learning to make trades for the first time. I mean, as the lead baseball guy, all right? He's had to make these major decisions. He had an owner hollering at him to trade Mookie Betts. He had people hollering at him in the organization. No, you can't spend money on Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop. So he took some hits because ownership really twisted his arm and kind of forced him to do some things he probably wouldn't have done. And he made some mistakes along the way, too. The one criticism that I've learned through all of my research and also calling people that I know is that, you know, Heim Bloom was fantastic at doing the primary job he was hired to do, which is to install a Tampa Bay model player development / minor league farm system. When he took over, Baseball America had the Boston Red Sox rated at the very bottom, number 30 in terms of their farm system rankings. Okay. He got fired late in the 2023 season, but all of the players that he drafted were still in the organization, or the ones that matter were still in the organization when 2024 started. So these were his guys. So there was the worst farm system in baseball when he took it over. That was 2019, early 2020. At the start of this season, the Boston Red Sox had the 10th best farm system in baseball. And by August, the updated ratings, they were number 3. So in a very short time, he took that farm system from being the worst in MLB to being number 3 in MLB. But the one thing I learned doing the research, other than what I just told you, was that he got criticized, you know, within baseball circles by folks who said that, you know, it was the first time he's ever run the whole thing. And he had enormous responsibility, and he was a younger guy. He's still a younger guy. He's 41. And it was a huge, huge job with a very, very demanding owner who's not exactly steady and stable, right? So he wasn't the best guy to deal with, I'm told, in terms from the other team's perspective, in terms of trying to make trades, because I think there were some underlying anxiety issues, nervous being in this big chair, big responsibility for the first time. I can understand that. That's what happens sometimes when young executives get a major bump and they're all of a sudden in the big time. And, you know, Tampa Bay, let's face it, I mean, beautifully run organization, does an incredible job with the limited resources that they have. But it's not like having a team in New York or Boston or Philly or even St. Louis, for that matter, right? Or Chicago, LA. So people who would talk trades with him, they thought he was a heck of a guy. It has nothing to do with the kind of person he is, but they knew he was a young executive, and they knew he was probably a little nervous, a little apprehensive, and he hesitated. Like, it was hard to close a deal with him because he hesitated, probably because he wasn't entirely sure. He had not developed that confidence doing this thing for the first time. Now, Now, some of you who don't like the hiring anyway are going to say, oh, see, oh, boy, I'm glad they hired him, Bernie. Oh, boy, I'm really thrilled now. Actually, you should be glad that he had that experience in Boston, even though some of that experience for him was not good. It's really good for the Cardinals because he got the experience he needed and he learned some hard lessons about what he could have done better, what he should have done better. You can take that experience, and by the time he's starting to run things in the John Mozeliak chair a year from now, he's much better prepared in terms of the things that he maybe wasn't as good at as he wanted to be in his first time at a gig like this. Okay. And I completely understand that. The Cardinals, in effect, will benefit from the reality of Chaim Bloom getting the job in Boston and doing the number one thing they told him to do. We want a Tampa Bay model. We want a thriving farm system. We have to develop our own players. That's your most important thing. He did that, and he did that very, very well, and he did that in short order. In fact, I think in August, when Baseball America updated their top 100, I'm pretty sure if I'm off, I'm only off by one. The Red Sox had six players in the top 100. If it wasn't six, it was five. And they had one gentleman, I'm not going to go into great details here, but they had the number two overall prospect. These were all guys brought in during Chaim Bloom's time there. So this bodes well for the Cardinals. I told you about the Tampa Bay situation and the great drafts that they had and the fact that he had a special eye for identifying pitching talent, also understanding using, oh my gosh, oh no, he used analytics. Oh no. Just kidding. Analytics are good. He used analytics to figure out how pitchers could get better. He came armed with a lot of information and said, look, look at your slider. Your slider is great, okay? You don't throw it enough. We want you to throw it more. Look at all this information. Oh, the evil analytics. I can't believe it. Oh, the analytics are so bad, Bernie. No, actually, this is a great example of what we're talking about. Or as my friend Kevin Wheeler, Cam Wax, was talking about Tyler Glasnow, when he went to the Tampa Bay Rays, Chaim Bloom and all them just said, dude, you throw 100 miles an hour, your stuff is all virtually unhittable when you're challenging hitters. Why are you fooling around with all this other nonsense? Why are you trying to pitch to the edges? Why are you trying to pitch, you know, a foot off the plate? You don't have to do that. Attack the hitters. You're going to own them. And it sounds simple, but those kind of things really work. It was part of the Tampa Bay model. They identified what a pitcher did best, and they got them to do it more often, rather than wasting time on pitches that weren't all that effective, right? Simple concept, surprising how many teams are stupid and don't do that kind of thing, right? So Chaim Bloom brings a great pedigree in player development and an eye for pitching. Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports, wrote a really great piece a few years ago about Tampa Bay being the best team in the majors by far at developing pitching, identifying and developing pitching. Chaim Bloom is a big part of that. So Chaim Bloom has been ready for every single thing that comes with the big chair, I'm going to call it, in Boston. But he fulfilled the number one goal that ownership had for him until they started saying, well, you got to trade Mookie now because he turned us down a contract offer. We're not paying that. We got to trade him. Okay, there goes his leverage in a trade, by the way, because everyone in baseball knew that he had to trade Mookie Betts. The thing about this situation, and this is why I say, look, I still wish Chaim Bloom would be in charge, like right now, of the whole shebang, right? But there is a benefit to this. There's a couple benefits to this, which is he now will have, even though he's going to be focusing on player development, farm system, and as I joked in something that I wrote, you know, he's going to be unplugging the Commodore 64 that the Cardinals have been using and, you know, sort of put in new technology, you know, that kind of thing. And he's going to get that thing up to date and then some, because he is a player development monster. You know, they hired themselves a beast. He may not look like it, but he is. And they're going to have full staffing, full funding. They're going to have every resource that he needs to get the Cardinals back to where they were, as they once took great pride in player development and they let it slide. And I'm going to touch on Bill DeWitt and Chaim Bloom, their partnership that's developing. I'm going to get to that here in a little bit. Bear with me. But Chaim Bloom will be immersed deeply in doing his first assignment, which is to fix the minor leagues and the player development. However, he's also, as he has been already in the advisory role, he's also going to get to know the lay of the land, like everything, everyone in the Cardinals baseball operation and all connected departments. He is going to have all the time he needs to get a comprehensive understanding of who's doing what, why they're doing it. Are they what we need? Do we need outside help? Do we need to hire new people in this and that and this and that? And that kind of runway for him can be beneficial, because unlike the Boston job where he's flying in there, he's in charge. And oh, by the way, his first few months on the job, all of a sudden this thing called COVID came along. I can't imagine that made things any easier for him. But this situation is entirely different, because the Cardinals are finally realized they have to rebuild. And the rebuilding starts with their minor league and player development system. He is uniquely qualified for that. But he can also use that time to learn everything he needs to learn about the St. Louis Cardinals before he takes control of the baseball operations department a year from now. He will be highly educated. He will be well-versed. He will know everything that he needs to know when he officially begins as the president of baseball operation on a 5-year contract. I think that that is a good thing, right? It can't be a bad thing. It's a good thing. Once again, I would have put him in charge right now. That decision's been made. Ain't no reason for me to keep yakking about it like I'm doing again right now. But there can be a benefit, and I think that point needs to be made. The second benefit, and there's three. I think I got them wrong. I thought I was going to say there's two. There's three. Second benefit is the fact that he doesn't have to be the bad guy. And what do I mean by that? Well, John Mozeliak, and I give him credit for his candor yesterday, because Bill DeWitt III was trying to sort of knock down this idea that the payroll would go down in 2025, because naturally the reporters were asking, well, you're putting all these resources into the minor leagues because you have to, but does that mean your payroll is going to drop at the major league level? And I think BD3 was trying to sort of fend that off, and Mo kind of cut him off and just said, you know, I anticipate the payroll will go down. Yes. So what that means is Mo's going to make some moves. The baseball operation is going to make some moves. And I can't predict what each and every fan is going to think about moves, because I don't know which moves we're talking about, like trading Ryan Helsley, of course. If they don't believe they're really going to contend for anything next season, they would be absolutely stupid to not trade Ryan Helsley. Because with a year left on his contract, I think you could get a really good return for him. But what, you want to keep him around another year, then he'll leave? What, you want him to be a closer on a team that's going to win 80 games? What, like, what's the point of that? So they're going to have some decisions like that to make. And we've heard them talk about, you know, Sonny Gray and, you know, people. We all are talking about Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado maybe will want to be traded. How about Contreras? Maybe he'll want to be traded. Hey, what about Eric Fetty? He's got a year left and he can walk as a free agent. Do you want to think about trading him? Like on and on and on and on. You know exactly what we're talking about here. Well, they may make some decisions that are unpopular. And they're, you know, and because it's John Mozeliak making those decisions to divest themselves of certain players and to lower the payroll? Well, of course, that'll be a crime against humanity, as we know, because whatever Mo does, it is indeed, it's factually a crime against humanity. No, it's not. I'm just having fun with you. Relax. But let Mo take the pounding. Let him take the punch and the beating. Let him make the trades that may or may not be received well by the Cardinals fans. Let him be the one that has to cut the payroll. And I think cutting the payroll makes all the sense in the world, because if you're rebuilding for a couple of years and you're really not a contender, why would you want to carry excess payroll? Why would you want to be paying guys or signing guys who at best are like mid-level people that you're probably overpaying for? And you're carrying this extra payroll weight for no good reason. Now, some of you, and listen, I'm not going to, you know, try to be fake polite here. Some of you are so furious and still so hung up on the whole spend type of thing that you really don't care whether the spending makes sense. You just want to see spending. I don't. I want intelligence, as I've said a million times. I want to see smart decisions made. And them handing out the contracts they've handed out, where they're just carrying basically, you know, the almost dead weight money. Are you kidding me? Why would we want that again? So let Mozeliak do what he's got to do. And if it means a lower payroll, I don't give a damn. I think it's smart because they are rebuilding, even if they don't want to say they're rebuilding. And you don't carry extra payroll and wasted dollars if you can get that off your book. Pretty simple concept, if you ask me, Mr. Big Mouth here. So let Mo do the dirty work. Let him do the things that are going to be criticized. Let him take the insults and the zingers. And here on the Bernie Show, those little thumbnails that are so cute and funny. You know, Mo is the character from SpongeBob or whatever. Andrew Wang, thank you. Those things are hysterical. Anyway, let him take all the arrows. And then when Chaim Bloom comes in to take the baseball operations over a year from now, that's the second benefit. He comes in clean. He comes in to rescue the Cardinals, to start to pull them out of this rebuild mode and put his imprint on this team on the major league level. And you know what he'll do? What he'll do is he will find, they'll sign some players when he's in charge a year from now. They'll sign some players. They're just not going to be the stupid things that a lot of people want. What they're going to do is what he's going to do, he's going to be remain true to everything he's learned from people like Andrew Friedman and others. He's going to look for gems. He's going to look for great value signings, because Chaim Bloom, thank you. Thankfully, Chaim Bloom is the type of executive. And again, I can't believe people have rashes over this because they want to see Bill DeWitt spend, you know, $20 million on this guy or whatever. Well, Chaim Bloom will find you someone just as good, if not better, for $7 million. You know, so what? I've always said this. I'm going to say it again. People heard this a bunch of times. I'm sorry, because you've heard it too many times. It's like, I don't need Bill DeWitt to show me that they're stupid by foolishly spending money. If, okay, you and I, we all go to the store, our wives, our better halves, whomever, our mothers, our fathers, you know, sisters, brothers, we all go to the store. You say, you need to buy a new vacuum cleaner or something. I don't know. You see one over here that costs, $99, right? You read the consumer reports or whatever. And you say, well, wait a minute. This one costs $99, but I'm reading the reports, the evaluations, the analysis, and I can get the same thing for $69. So why would I pay $99 when I can get something of equal value for $69? Doesn't the same principle apply to baseball players? Why would you want Bill DeWitt to be stupid and throw away more money on half-measure signings when you can get someone just as good for about half the cost. See, Chaim Bloom will bring, believe it or not, brains are good. He'll be bringing some fresh brains, some fresh thinking into the proceedings. This leads me to the third point, the third benefit. And I think this one is a good one. And I think this is a good one because I went through the whole experience of Bill DeWitt bringing in Jeff Luhnow and reinventing the way the Cardinals did their baseball model. And the result was one of the great runs in the history of the franchise. And what I remember about that, well, I remember a lot about that, just how smart they were and how they draft these players like Alan Craig, you know, like way deep in the draft, and Trevor Rosenthal and so many others, Matt Carpenter. Like other teams were like, well, why'd they draft that guy? Because Luhnow and his people, he had great analysts. They found the secret formula, and did they nail it on so many of the drafts. Not in those big splashy ways that everybody likes with the short attention spans, like my cats, you know. What's he shaking? What's he doing over there? You know, they go nuts. No, they're very quietly, very stealth. They drafted some great players later in the draft and really, really just kind of outmaneuvered other teams that just weren't as smart, quite frankly. So anyway, the other thing I remember, other than the winning and how good Luhnow and that operation was after Bill DeWitt brought him in, so he deserves the ultimate credit for that because it was his move and it was a great move. Bill DeWitt was really, really happy. And he was really, really happy, not just because of the winning. He was really, really, really happy because scouting, drafting, player development, the minor leagues has always been his passion. It's because of his baseball family. It's because his father, Bill DeWitt Sr., was a longtime baseball executive. In fact, worked for the St. Louis Browns. He may have worked for the Cardinals briefly. He owned the Cincinnati Reds. He ran the Cincinnati Reds. And a young Bill DeWitt Jr. would go with his father on scouting trips. And his father would explain things and saying, well, this is why we're looking at this guy. And this is why we're thinking of this guy. And we may sign this guy. And the other thing Bill DeWitt did, he's telling me the story about this in Jupiter one spring training. Bill DeWitt Jr., I don't know how old he was at the time, but I thought that this was a fantastic story. Bill DeWitt was so fired up about scouting, identifying players, having a database. He actually installed some kind of data system in the Cincinnati Reds headquarters. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't advanced because at that day and age, it couldn't have been. But the best he could, he put a system in there where they had a central bank of information computerized on people that they were looking at in terms of signing. Now, I'm not talking about free agents. I'm talking about amateurs. This was probably before the draft, the draft emerged, right? And so Bill DeWitt actually put in a system. And as he put it to me, he's not sure that anyone else was doing that at the time. And he wasn't bragging, but he was just saying why he was so excited about it. And you say, well, what does this have to do with Chaim Bloom? The point is, what did Bill DeWitt do to put the Cardinals in great shape forever? Well, not forever, but for a long, long time. Brought in Jeff Luhnow, who was advanced in his thinking and with the data and with the analytics and having really smart analysts around him. And the Cardinals had a competitive advantage because of it. But Bill DeWitt made that happen. Chaim Bloom will be good for Bill DeWitt because Bill DeWitt let this thing slip, talking about player development, right? We all know that. It took him too long, but he finally figured it out and said, no, we can't keep doing this. We got to change. And Bill DeWitt loves this stuff, which makes it more intriguing to me that he got away from it, okay? But what it happened. You can't change it now, but he is trying to change it going forward. Chaim Bloom will be very good for Bill DeWitt because that young Bill DeWitt who used to go with his father on scouting trips and the young Bill DeWitt who put in a computer system to have all the information in one spot to make it easier for the scouts and his father and anyone else in baseball to kind of look up information instantaneously and sort of have maybe assessments, grades to attach to each player. way ahead of his time. Bill slipped behind the times here recently as far as this area, right? He obviously thinks very highly of Chaim Bloom because he wouldn't have brought him in as a consultant and he wouldn't have decided, well, I want him to implement these changes. I love everything that he's recommended about what to do with the minor leagues and the player development system. Bill DeWitt's really fired up about that. So he didn't hesitate to bring in Chaim Bloom and give him a full-time job and in advance make him the president of baseball operations on a five-year contract that starts next season or starts next after next season. Pardon me. So Bill DeWitt's first true love in baseball is scouting, player development, farm systems, getting a constant crop of homegrown talent to your big club. He's got a proven track record in that area. He's also has a background that speaks to that over and over again. That's kind of within Bill DeWitt's baseball DNA, if you will. And he got away from it, and look what happened. Things fell apart. Chaim Bloom is going to rekindle that in Bill DeWitt, and I believe he already has. And I believe it'll that passion that Bill DeWitt has had for this area of baseball is going to be re-energized. His love of this part of baseball will absolutely be re-energized. And I think Chaim Bloom, because he's so good at this, identifying players, drafting, development, giving them everything they need, these prospects to succeed at the big leagues. And there's a proven track record there too. He and Bill DeWitt are simpatico. They're wired the same way. And I think this will sound harsh, but let me say it. I think Bill DeWitt, even though he's very close to John Mozeliak and they've been a true partnership, I think Bill DeWitt's kind of tired as we are in some ways. You got this fresh guy coming in who shares this absolute passion for player development and farm systems and, you know, homegrown players, pipelines, all that. Has the same love of that stuff that Bill DeWitt has had most of his life but got away from in recent years. So I think Chaim Bloom is going to have an excellent impact in sort of getting Bill DeWitt charged up again, fired up again. You know, a guy that we used to text during baseball games. And I'd say, like, did you see what this young pitcher did tonight down in AA? And he said, oh, yeah, I got the reports already. Bill DeWitt's up late in Cincinnati, and he's reading these reports that his people are sending him about some shortstop or some backup catcher did this, did that. Here's the report. Here's what we like. Bill DeWitt loves this stuff. He stopped loving it. He got away from it. I think Mozeliak bored him too. That's mean, but what the hell, right? So Chaim Bloom is a guy that Bill DeWitt is like, okay, you know, here we go again. You know, we did it with Luno, and I think this guy can do a lot for us just like that. And boy, he loves this stuff, and I love this stuff too. And we're going to build a great farm system again. And you know what? Y'all laugh. Write nasty things in the comment section. I don't care. I know Bill DeWitt enough to know what makes him tick and what he truly loves in terms of the baseball stuff, the stuff that went dormant. He let it slide. He shouldn't have. But now at age 83, he's determined to change all that. And Chaim Bloom, for all the reasons I discussed, is probably the best person he could have in this job of restoring, rehabilitating the minor leagues, and then bringing the entire package to the president of baseball operations gig. So you can laugh at me. I don't care. I'm very, very sure of my opinion on this. I'll be very surprised if Chaim Bloom, he's already re-energized Bill DeWitt. I'll be really surprised if he does not continue to re-energize Bill DeWitt. And that's only can be good for Cardinals baseball. So understand what's important at this evolution in time. It isn't wasting money on mid-range free agents. It's doing what Bill DeWitt loves to do best: player development, homegrown talent, funneling young players to the major leagues, then spending money on free agents as needed, right? But you can't keep going out trying to buy a whole new pitching staff every year. That's stupid. So Chaim Bloom can save Bill DeWitt from the instincts that he fell into in the final years of John Mozeliak. And he can help get Bill DeWitt back to where he was and to what he loves and what he loves the best about baseball. So we'll see if I am proven right. I think I'm right, but time will tell. All right, I'll shut up now. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to the Bernie channel here on YouTube. I look forward to your comments. Thank you.